When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if five and blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of our full moon edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. The best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the home page. That will click you through to the KKNW 1150 website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And by the way, the Animal World website again is MarthaNorwalk.com. It's just like it sounds, N-O-R-W-A-L-K, MarthaNorwalk.com. And, hey, we've got a pretty nice day going on here. I am excited to be here, and across the table from me, I assume he's also excited to be here, but he hasn't actually told me that yet. That would be Animal World's production engineer, Mike Roberge, is here. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Martha. I am so excited to be here.
Well, I just realized when I turned to look at you.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody
did they change the light bulbs or they move them or something?
We have this directional
right in my eyeballs.
Yeah, we have this directional lighting here in the studio, and I noticed that all of the light has been directed towards you, and I have none.
Well,
so I
don't think those are usually pointed at me.
Yeah, I don't either. I think they come over this way. And of
or
course,
they
the folks at home
down or
don't
something.
Really understand what we're talking about. But it is directional lighting that has gone amok. But what I can do is I can tone it down a little bit. And,
yeah, or perhaps
a little
you could climb up on the table and we could move those.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Well, then I'll do that.
Okay.
I'll climb up.
Right now?
We better wait for a break.
Yeah, I think we should wait for a commercial break.
Yeah.
The fact that somebody moved them.
We have to move that because I have to be able to look at you. And right now there is so much glare that I can hardly look at you without
Well, hold on one second. Just talk for a second. Let me turn the lights down. They're on a rheostat, so I can turn them down.
Oh, that means a dimmer? I would imagine that's a technical word for a dimmer switch. Let's see. Well, how about that? Yeah, they aren't. Oh, that's better. Yeah, that's mood lighting. Ooh, hey, that's not bad. Yeah, I like that much better.
Technology prevails.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Now, that would be, so you called it a rheostat?
Yeah, or
would that
or dimmer.
Be the technical term for dimmer?
I don't know. Somebody told me, hey, that's a rheostat. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh,
you mean dimmer?
Really an electrician.
No. No,
that's much better, but I still think, I don't think they've ever been pointed straight at my eyeballs like that.
Yeah, somebody moved them. Not sure why. Who knows?
Well, maybe they actually got up there and cleaned or something.
That's a possibility.
Huh. Would that be a first?
That seems like a remote possibility, but it is possible.
But, you know, and sometimes we really need bright light in here, because sometimes, you know, it's like real dark and yucky outside, but actually, for the 8th of January and relatively early in the morning, at least it's early for you and me, Mike, because
that is true.
We would not be morning people. It really was a nice drive down here. Part of Mount Rainier was out and that I can see when I come out of my driveway, even though I'm all the way up in Monroe, I can see it. And I don't get it. I don't get optical illusions, but Mount Rainier, from my perspective in Monroe, when I leave my driveway, looks bigger than it does when you get all the way down here, like 50 miles closer.
Maybe it's because you're more awake by the time you get down here.
No, because sometimes this happens in the afternoon too much. Whenever I sit, it just It has to be some kind of optical illusion. I don't get it.
But yep. And all optical illusions are
anyway,
all mental.
Mount Rainier's bigger than Monroe. Did you know that? Anyway.
I didn't.
It was sort of out. Like it had a, it was, the top was gone because it was covered with clouds, which is kind of what's happening here. We have a high cloud cover comes down, but then we can see the sun underneath it.
And you got to check out the Olympics.
Whoa. Yeah.
Cause, they're beautiful.
Because we can see the city of Seattle. Yep. We know all the buildings are there and the Space Needle.
And the mountains. The Olympics.
And the mountains behind it are spectacular.
Yeah. Snow-capped.
Yeah, and what's really pretty about it is that the snow-capped part of the mountains are the part that the sun's shining on. So it looks extra white.
It'd be nice to be on a ferry cruising over to the peninsula today.
Yeah, but, you know, you got to be, you can't listen to, afternoon you could do that.
You could listen in your car radio.
I don't know about you, but I don't, once I get on the ferry, I don't get radio reception.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't experienced that.
I have.
Okay.
So, I've tried. Okay, sometimes I've wanted to sit in the car and listen to the radio instead of doing anything else, but I don't get reception. Maybe it's just my car, but I don't think so. I have a pretty good
radio. I thought your earlier suggestion, everybody just sit tight till around noon, let it warm up a little bit.
Those are rules. You just, the Aunt Martha's rule, you don't get to do anything. You just have to hang back, kick back, and relax.
Just sit back and chill.
Yep, listen to Animal World, and then at noon you can do whatever you want to do. Now, unless you have something you have to go to and say that be there at noon or something, then you can listen to Animal World while you're driving where you're going.
That's what I'd do.
But you have to listen to Animal World.
Correct. Every Sunday at 9.
Now, it doesn't apply now.
It's
applies in the when we get, when it starts to warm up. I mean, assuming that spring and summer come, which is always questionable around here. But when and if it does show up. No cutting the grass and all that stuff before noon. Unless, of course, you have one of those little things that you can put in your ears and listen to Animal World while you're... And I don't know what you call those things, but, one of those technical...
Bluetooth. It's a Bluetooth device that has,
a
tuner.
With a Bluetooth.
But you can get them with tuners in them, so you can tune radio, too.
Okay, unless you have one of those.
Yeah.
Alrighty then. So
these are the ground rules. I think.
Yeah, those are the rules.
I understand them though. I'm clear.
Yeah. 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 Because if I can't do that stuff, you can't do it either.
Yeah. And besides, who wants to get too busy too early on a Sunday morning? Sunday mornings are designed to just sort of relax, kick back, listen to Animal World, get some news you can use in good chat, good conversation.
Not necessarily.
Interesting guests. Oh, yeah.
But, pretty much you always have a good time.
And there's always at least one takeaway from every show. Either it's in the news or it's from a guest or from a caller.
Really?
Or some of the, absolutely.
Have you heard all?
Absolutely. I actually listen, Martha. Yes, I may be pushing buttons and running around doing little crazy things, but I'm always listening.
Especially since you've been here.
Yeah.
Because, especially when it's just like Martha and Mike Sundays, like last time. I mean, we can just idle our way through a whole hour and we haven't done anything
yet. Well, no, the first half hour doesn't count.
That's I see.
That's just
it's
you
it's
and me.
It's not necessarily going to come in the first hour of the show.
Rarely.
All right, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, we're just warming up. We're just getting warmed up.
Well, speaking of that, we should probably get the other third part of the show in for today to get her warmed up as well, because it is the second Sunday of the month, which now means, unless we deviate from our plan, that it is a Martha and Robin Sunday, which means a gifted Mount Shasta mystic and co-host of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis is here with us. Good morning, Robin. Are you there?
Good morning, Aunt Martha.
Hey, have you got the sun on Mount Shasta today?
Oh, it is just beaming right through the window at me. The mountain is beautiful, snow-capped. It's gorgeous.
All right. Now, is Bob around to say hello, or is he...
Bob is around, and he is putting his headphones on as we speak.
Hey, good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, ladies.
And Mike.
Wait a second.
Yeah, Bob, you better watch that.
Yeah, point of clarification, Bob.
Well, I just ran off the street, so.
Okay.
Ran in off the street to get my mic on.
Oh, well, it was nice of you to join us for a moment.
Yes, well, thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's always nice.
And Roomie, too.
Oh, is that Roomie Kitty?
Hey, yeah, that was our roomie who meowed, too. He's like, I want to be on Animal World.
He loves to be on Animal World. He loves to be on the radio.
Well, we like to have animals on Animal World, seeing as they're a big part of the show. mine are at home. That none of them are studio ready yet. That would be, of course, my collection of kitties. Abyssinian cats, except Sophie, who is a tuxedo version. But G-Man's too old. He doesn't, and he never has done radio. But then I have Ping and Pong and my big pistol in a little package, Buzzy. Buzz around the house. And he does have a great motor. He buzzes really loud.
Is he the one that someday might be coming to the studio with you?
Well, it's very possible. I just don't know that we could trust Ping and Pong in the studio. They'd probably wreck the place. Of course, oh, hi, Rumi.
He's
your
really
Auntie Martha room. Oh, too cute. And I saw pictures of Rumi opening his Christmas packages on robinalexis.com in the Soul Spa, and he had red reindeer ears on.
Oh, yeah, he really got into opening presents this year.
And it looked like he was ripping up the presents and everything?
Yes, he was. We sprayed a little catnip spray on the presents, and he was ripping them open for us, and it was very cute.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. There are other pictures of him on Flickr, too, where he's under the blankets, but his head's in the pillow, and it's so cute.
So if people want to see those photographs that we're talking about, they have to go to your website.
RobinAlexis.com,
and then on you'll see there's a little icon that says Flickr.
Yes.
I didn't know about that until I heard you mention it sometime recently. That's how come I saw Rumi opening his Christmas presents. You just click on that, and then all these photographs come up.
Yes, we've been taking pictures of Mount Shasta and what we've been doing out here and in the nature and watching Robin bless the Lemurian crystals out at the sacred spots. And so we take pictures and we get them up as soon as possible so people can see about this beautiful area and what we're doing down here.
Well, and you, Bob, are turning out to be a pretty good photographer.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, a lot of neat photographs there. So anyway, robinalexis.com and click on the Flickr button and then you can look at what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But anyway, Robin, to answer your question.
I'm going to let you guys have a wonderful show. If you need me, give me a call.
Well, yeah, we'll have Robin yell at you wherever you're at.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, that would be the technical term for we'll give you a call, Bob. Have
yell
a nice
yell
morning.
For me. I'll
bye.
Be in the other room listening.
Okay, bye. Anyway, let's see, what I was going to say is he'll be 11 weeks old tomorrow. Whoa.
Wow.
But he's still very small. However, the reason I think that he might end up being a studio cat, well, it depends on, and maybe you can tune into the energy, Robin, and maybe you can feel it, but in his first lifetime with me, remember, he was my original Abyssinian, Ruddy Abyssinian, and he really enjoyed riding in the car and traveling with me. And he had a little harness and a leash, and he would ride in the car with me, and he actually took trips with me. I remember we drove all the way to Spokane, went and stayed in a hotel and stuff, and so he was a good little traveler, and he liked to go places, and was very social. I have to say that the only time he's been in a car so far is the drive home from the breeders to my house, and he mouthed off a bit as we got started, but he was much better than any of my other cats, because within a few minutes after I explained to him what the deal was, he just curled up in the little bed in the little crate and went to sleep and had a very comfortable ride. So it's all going to depend on whether he ends up being a travel Abyssinian. Does it feel to you, Robin, like he might be?
Yes, it does.
Cool.
Yeah, I feel like he'll just pick up where he left off.
well, that's, yeah, that would be really, well, gosh, that, I'm just, I'm so full of things to talk about and all that kind of stuff. Before let's finish up on this train of thought. Man, Mike, you're just going to have to pull me back down to the planet.
I can do that.
So much stuff going on. I'm sort of floating around the room, folks. I'll tell you why in just in a moment. But I wanted to finish this thought because I keep forgetting to tell you about this. Most would think that I was nuts to have three ruddy Abyssinians less than a year old all at one time raising them. But to me, that's like heaven on earth and gather high maintenance, and it's a lot of work and all of that. But I just absolutely love it. But I have to tell you, I'm experiencing something, Robin and Mike, that I haven't experienced before, because I realized that all of my Abyssinians, every single one of them up until now, have always been Geminis.
Oh, wow.
And I'm a Gemini, so I understand Geminis, and we all get along.
I'm a Gemini.
Well, hey, see?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, Robin, you're out. Because I know you're not a Gemini.
That's true.
What are you?
I'm an Aries.
That's what I was going to say. Aries is what was popping in my mind. But no, do Aries and Gemini get along?
I have a lot of friends who are Gemini, so based on my own astrological frequencies, I'd say yes. But I don't know what it would say traditionally.
Well, I would say based on our relationship, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we get along. But anyway, all of my Abyssinians have been Geminis. Well, for the first, I'll have two exceptions now. I actually don't know what Buzzy is because I haven't bothered to look. It kind of didn't matter. I knew it was him, and you know, we've planned this ahead of time, and he was coming back, and he was coming in the litter he was coming in, but he was born this fall. So he obviously is not a Gemini, but I don't know what he is. Maybe I don't want to know. Well, we'll just table that. However, Scooty, my boot scoot and boogie, who was my second ruddy Abyssinian, was actually Buzzy's replacement. It took several years for me to find him. But he was just an incredible cat. Buzzy, the most intelligent and best communicator of all the cats I've ever had. Now, I'm sure Buzzy was also, but I wasn't at the point of being able to really, I hadn't refined telepathic and empathetic interspecies communication and all that stuff. Are you beeping, Robin?
It's the microwave.
Bob's using the microwave, and it's coming across the air.
Hey, let's call Bob and say, hey, what are you cooking there, Bob?
Yeah, what are you cooking there, Bob? Oh, he's warming up his coffee. Ah, sorry about that.
He's saying sorry.
Hey,
no apologies necessary. It's just, hey, will you warm up mine?
Yeah, will you warm up her coffee too, Bob?
No. It's something we all do during Sunday mornings is we have coffee and we warm it up.
Well, see, and that's
very natural
occurrence. There are no pretenses here on Animal World. We do not pretend to be professional or even good at what we do. We just hang out and have fun.
Well, and you're so all-inclusive. You know, it doesn't matter what happens, whether the cat's meowing or the husband's running the microwave to reheat his coffee.
Yeah, you know what's going on. Now, in the radio business, they call this letting the audience into the kitchen.
Yeah, well, I call it reality radio with you.
Well, yeah, it's reality radio now. But way back when I started radio, like 17 plus years ago, I was like the first reality radio host, the first shock jock, as they were called, as time went by. I got so yelled at when I was at, the big, huge station. The producer would just flip her cookies, come in, and she'd be flying into the studio screaming at my call screener, Sandy, saying, what is she doing? She can't let him into the kitchen like that. You're not supposed to tell him what's going on. Anyway, I ruffled a lot of feathers in the early days. But
well, look at that. You invented something.
Well, I don't know that I invented it. I just started doing it, and then it caught on. I don't think anybody was paying attention to what I was doing. But so anyway, where was? Oh, I was with Abyssinia. How did I get off on that? Oh, Bob.
Because Bob
used the microwave.
No, wait a second.
There we go.
In Bob's defense, he was just reheating his coffee. He had no intention of knocking you off of your app.
Well, you got to remember, A, it's a full moon.
That's true.
B, I'm a Gemini.
Yeah.
And we're blabbermouths. And C, I'm my feet are not on the ground anyway, but I haven't told you why about that anyway. But so, back to where I was. Run that right back. All right. Now, Scooty was my second ruddy Abyssinian. He's the one that I did all the communication with, and he was so intelligent and all that sort of stuff. Well, I'm here to tell you, Scooty was so smart, and even as an Abyssinian, he was stubborn. And so teaching him impulse control and to control his behavior was, to say the least, a little challenging. And on the serious issues, he really got it. But, I mean, if he wanted something, he wanted it, and he would be very insistent. And he learned early on that I had bookshelves that I still have those bookshelves, by the way, that are like, you know, 6 feet tall. And he had learned how to launch and get up to the top of the bookshelves. And I thinking, you know, that the cats would stay off the very tops of the bookshelves. Well, now, hindsight being 2020, and now that it's, you know, 20 years on down the line, and new batches of cats, I have now made the tops of the bookshelves part of the cat runway in the house. So they're now part, they're allowed on the top shelf, just not the in-betweeners. But anyway, I would put my greeting cards on that top shelf to keep them away from you-know-who, Buzzy the cat. Well, if Buzzy wanted me to play with him, and I was too busy and didn't want to play, or he wanted me to feed him, or he wanted something and I was too busy to do it, he would ask, and I'd say, not you now, I have to finish, yada, yada, yada. Well, then he'd go launch, and he'd climb up the bookshelves, and he'd get up there on that top shelf. And then he'd ask me again. He'd say, want to play? And I'd ignore him. And so he'd look at me, and then he'd knock a card off. He'd look at me again, say, you play with me now? And I'd say, no. He'd knock another one off. And he'd keep that up until I got ticked off enough that I'd get up and stop him from knocking cards off. And, of course, you know, just as with dogs and with kids, negative attention is just as rewarding than positive. Particularly, it's always better than, you know, nothing. So that was Buzzy in his first lifetime. Well, now Buzzy is back, second time around with me, and now he's Ping. And, by the way, Ping is another really big pistol in a little package.
You mean Scooty.
I mean, Scooty. I mean, Scoozy. Scooty, yeah. Thank you. Scooty is now back as Ping. Buzzy's back as Buzzy. But Scooty, and Scooty is also a big pistol in a little package. He's actually turning out to be a smaller Abyssinian this time around. His younger brother, Pong, has actually outgrown him now. However, Scooty came back as Ping, not as a Gemini this time. Pong is a Gemini because he was born a month later on June 6th. Ping was born on May 6th, and that makes him a Taurus. Oh, man. A ruddy Abyssinian in a Taurus suit. Well, you know, Taurus is the bull and really stubborn. Well, Ping, Scooty Ping, is not only really intelligent this time around, but he's really, really stubborn. And some of the behavior that he came through in, he came by way of genetics this time. Like one of them is his mother was a shoulder cat, which, you know, she'd launch on you and want to ride around on your shoulder. Well, I've now discovered that that is a genetic behavior. It's passed on. And Ping happened to get that gene. And I've just decided, rather than trying to eradicate that behavior, I've just decided to learn to live with it and teach him some rules related. Like, if I'm not wearing clothes, don't get to launch onto my shoulders. Because you do that once and that'll never happen again. Really painful. So anyway, there are some things I make signs for. Well, let me just tell you how smart this cat is. He, because I keep forgetting to tell you about this, it's absolutely hysterical and it just cracks me up. He discovered, a few months ago, this really great game. And you know how we all have bathrooms? We all have towel racks in the bathroom. And I have two bathrooms, and there are towel racks in each bathroom. And I have, in both bathrooms, I have long a folded up bath towel, you know, that hangs maybe down 3 feet over the towel rack. Well, Scooty decided, Scooty Ping decided that it was a great game. He sits at the bottom underneath the towel rack, maybe about a foot out, you know, I would say 6 inches to a foot away from the wall. And then he looks up at the top of the towel rack. And then he'd launch straight up in the air and grab the top of the towel. And then of course that would pull the towel off the rack, and he'd come flying. They'd come falling back down, and he'd land in this big pillow of towel on the floor, and then he'd burrow around the towel. He just thought that was really cool.
I think we all do. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, except
it's like
that
repellent.
Except that if you're me and you have to keep picking the towel back up and folding it and putting it back on the rack.
Right.
So, well, I'm inherently lazy. I don't need any more, and I'm not a housekeeper, okay? So I don't need anything more to do along those lines. So I quickly said, unacceptable. You are not playing that game anymore. And so Ping looked at me, he did, and he said, And he tried doing it a number of times. And he said, okay, not in your bathroom. I'll do it in the other bathroom, the guest bathroom. No, it's not flying here either. And I'd get after him, and we'd have the discussion that he can't do that anymore. And so he finally realized that he was not going to get away with this. This was not acceptable. So, you know, his neener on this one was, he is so smart. He likes this game even better. He now sits in front of the towel rack, 6 to 12 inches out. He gazes up at the top, and then he launches even higher this time. And as he's going up, he grabs the top of the towel. Okay? But before gravity catches him, and he, on his way down, he lets go of the towel. So then he falls back down, and the towel stays put on the rack. It doesn't even move. And then he looks around and says, neener, neener, neener. Can I do this? And it's like, oh my gosh. It's like, you know, when kids get bad, when dogs do bad, and they're puppies, and they do something, and it's really bad, and you don't want them to do it, and you just laugh your you-know-what off, because it's so fun. It's like that. I can't help it. It's so cute. He's so smart. So now he launches and grabs, but lets go, and the towel stays on the rack, and he can play his game. I don't have to clean up after him. And we're good. So what do you think?
He trained you well.
Yeah. Well, right. Well, you know, you remember, see, as an animal behavior therapist, I have to practice what I preach.
Sure.
And, you know, the major rule of thumb with dogs and cats is dogs have masters. Cats have staff.
Yep.
So I truly serve my cats. Heaven help the golden retriever puppy that comes to live with us in the field, because that's when I get to be a dictator. And, oh, man, I'm the best dog dictator on the planet. Of course, that's how I teach people how to do that, too. But that's what makes dogs happy, so you can get away with
sure.
it. Yeah. So anyway, we'll have balance when a golden comes back. So anyway, that's my how smart is Ping story. Ooh. Yeah. And so some things you just have to let them.
You just got to go with the flow.
Yeah.
And communicate. When were you talking about that earlier? Communicating.
Right.
You gotta say what's what.
All right. So I suppose, speaking of communicating, I think you probably have all figured out that it's a Martha and Robin Sunday. Of course, what did we decide? This is a M&M and R now.
Yes.
M&M and R. So that's Martha, Mike, and Robin.
Yep.
So maybe it's a MR&M.
Yeah.
M-R-M.
But that, actually, I like that. That sounds better.
MRM?
MRM.
Martha,
has
Robin.
Has a nice beat to it.
And Mike.
Yeah.
Because the third Sunday, that will be next Sunday.
Correct.
Is a Kevin and Kim Sunday, but we really decided it's a KK and M Sunday.
Right.
Yeah.
I know it sounds a little confusing, but, you know.
You'll all get
we're just getting into this,
yeah.
So
bear
with us.
So anyway, it's a Robin and Martha Sunday, and that means when we quit fooling around, which who knows when that'll be, we have done Robin and Martha Sundays, and we never stopped fooling around. We didn't get to anything we were going to do. Is it amazing how fast? Do we call this the fastest 3 hours in radio?
Yeah, it is. Before you know it, it's time to say bye-bye.
And we just have a good time. So anyway, when we get to what we typically plan to do, as we plan, which is not much, but we tune into different animal-related situations going on around the world. Robin kind of takes us into the energy, and I follow her in, and then we kind of find out what the animals have to say and what's really going on and how we can help or what we need to learn or that kind of stuff. And we've got some things from last time that we didn't actually get to. And, I mean, I want to follow up and I want to really get into the Lolita whale situation. We got to get to those ancient whale skeletons in Chile. And then, oh, we've got some stuff in the news. Oh, Anyway, the animals are lining up, so we'll get to that eventually. But first off, I want to let you know that I do have I've got some good TV alerts. New shows coming back because after all, it's now after the holidays, and so now all the series start up again. There's some good animal TV, well, and some questionable animal TV coming up, but you all need to know about. We'll do a little bit of follow up animals in the news. I've scheduled the fall into winter tip because winter could come back, and that's scheduled to run at 10, but if we all don't need a break, we might not run it, so we'll just see what happens there. And then current events, be a short one because there's nothing new on current events. Everybody took the first week of January off pretty much, but there are some happening things, but so I'll tell you about that, but that'll be right towards the end of the second hour. And that sort of covers the bases. Well, and before I tell you why my feet are not touching the floor and we launch into all of that, because who knows how long a discussion that will be, we could do something really novel.
How's that?
We could actually do something on time, schedule-wise. What do you think, Mike?
Aren't we setting a dangerous precedent?
No, we call this making Mike happy.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, let's go for it. Let's make Mike happy.
Should we make Mike happy?
Yeah, why not?
All right, what do you think, Robin? Should we make Mike happy?
Absolutely.
All right, and I didn't even ask Rob. We'll find out if Robin's got anything going on. And sometimes she has special deals for us. Sometimes she doesn't. We don't know. But we'll find out. We actually don't know much of anything because Robin and I have not spoken until the middle of last week. So anyway, we will take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Remember, folks, it is the most important part of the show because without them, there is no us. So please pay attention, support them, and in doing so, you support us. And when you do, thank them for supporting Animal World. And then we continue. Robin Alexis is here, and we'll get in. I've got some good TV alerts coming up next. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Call into Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for your free on-air readings. Robin uses her ability as a karma specialist, medical intuitive, and metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She's a medium who can talk to your spirit guides and angels. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
Penn and Rochelle are Chat with Women.
Remember who you're talking to.
Hello.
Oh, Chat with Women.
Listen to Chat with Women to be informed, motivated, inspired.
Don't listen to people who tell you it's never been done before. If I had looked at the SWAT team, it was an all-male team, and thought, you know what, if I had done that, I wouldn't have had the incredible experiences.
Take 1 hour out of your day to learn and grow and change your life.
You're living in that virtual world too much.
That's right. Very virtual.
Come on out with us and play.
Every weekday morning at 8, Chat with Women on 1150 KTNW.
Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. You might even find me, because I got to get up there and get some more raw food. Anyway, The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets. Oh, there's those birds. That's, you know, so there's something, well, there's, it's something kind of nice. Hey, everybody, I'm Martha Norwalk, by the way. You're listening to Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Mike Roberge is here, as always, and it's Robin and Martha Sunday. Well, and MRM. Sunday, and that means that gifted Mount Shasta mystic and co-host of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Robin Alexis is with us.
I think somebody's doing the dishes.
And Bob is hanging out in the background, doing the dishes.
Or frying bacon.
Yes, Bob is doing the dishes now, yes.
All right.
Boy, he's just forgetting that we're on the air. He's just Mr. Domestic.
Yeah, but we know what he's doing.
We already gave him permission to do that.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
So, you know, now that I'm thinking, what I'm hearing going on, if he's, like, doing the dishes, you know, would you, like, send him up to my house?
And when he's done there.
then he's coming to Mike's house.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Bob is so easy to live with when it comes to things like that. He's such a clean person. It's really easy. Not that I leave things behind for him to pick up on a regular basis. I know I do sometimes because he reminds me of that. But he just gets right on top of things, as you are now witnessing.
Well, then he could come visit me for a little while. But he sounds too much like my ex-husband. Oh, man. Bless his heart. He's on the other side now. We have a great relationship now that he's on the other side.
Oh, he just popped in. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Tom, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so is he kind of tall and lean?
Yes.
And did he wear, like, pale-colored pants sometimes?
Yeah.
Oh, this is amazing. Last night... I don't know if this is him or not, but last night Bob and I were at our neighbor's, Beth and Mike's, and we were playing games, and I kept seeing this ghost named Tom, and this is what he looked like. And they were like, we don't know who Tom is. I'm like, well, why is Tom here? So maybe he's here because of you. Yeah, I'm getting a confirmation.
Well, yeah, and we did that. We had friends over a lot on Saturday night and played games. We played cards, actually.
Okay, so that's what we were playing. We were playing a card game called Apple to Apple. He obviously wants to communicate with you, Martha. I don't know if it's going to be live on the air, but since he showed up with me playing cards with our friends next door.
Or maybe he knows I was going to talk about him today, and he wants to shut me up. But because Bob was reminding me, Tom was a Virgo, and very, very neat and clean. And that was one of the things, you know, that I really most respected about him or liked the most when we got together. But as you know, once you get together with someone, sometimes the things that most attracted to you to them in the first place become the things that you dislike the most later on in the relationship. Well, the one thing I should have had a clue the first time I went to his house. His house was neat as a pin. Everything was in its place. But just don't even do a white glove test because there was a layer of dust. Tom didn't dust. So I had to learn how to dust.
Saying, how you talk, Martha.
Well, get this, Tom. He got quirky, you know, as the relationship went on, and he got worse with his neat as a pin business. So you better watch Bob on this one. After a while, I got two jobs. I got to dust, and I got to do the laundry. Oh, my, all the details are coming out now. I got to do the laundry, but it wasn't too long. A few years into the marriage, I was not good enough at doing the laundry because in my mind, a job isn't worth doing unless there's really something to do. So I would do the laundry once a week on the weekend, and then there was enough laundry to do a few, you know, full loads and a few loads and all of that. Well, no, he wanted laundry done every day. So after a few years, he would do his laundry and Damien, his son's laundry, every day. So they never had dirty clothes. I mean, they did a lot every... Well, I... So...
Boy, obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah, hello. Well, now get this. So then
Now he's saying how you talk. Okay, here comes Bob. He's coming into the kitchen.
Well,
he's got to get in on this conversation.
Well, so then, you know, Tom also did all the cooking. And then, you know, and then he would clear and he would do all, like, you couldn't even help with the dishes afterwards because by the time you got done eating, the dishes would already be done. And it got to be really scary that when you were eating, because if you laid your fork down for a sec, it didn't matter if you were done eating or not, he'd grab your plate to, you know, take it to wash it. It was like, wait a minute, I'm not done yet.
Well, I'm not a Virgo.
Oh, good. Thank goodness.
So I'm not that fastidious
at all.
Thank
goodness.
I just like things neat. And actually, I'm getting less and less neat as I get a little older. So,
I've been with you for 11 years. I think you're just as neat as you were.
Well, I have respect for your place in the house, too. And,
and
you know, I like to keep things neat for you because I love you so much, dear.
Oh, boy, we're going to get into it this morning. You've got a deceased husband here who's jockeying into position, and now Bob's swaying back and forth there. He's ready to get into this.
Because I had my caffeine this morning.
Oh, he never drinks caffeine, Martha. So we've got ghosts and caffeine. What is going on?
Well, Tom was, I think he's just reminding me that he knew Buzzy. And
well, that's
I
where
had
I
Buzzy
was going.
When Tom and I were married.
And Tom is actually saying, how did that affect the human-to-animal transfer communication? There actually is a reason why
he's here. Oh, I know,
because
he just showed me the picture of Buzzy peeing on Tom's shoes in the closet.
Yeah, if you don't mind, it's up to you, but Tom is saying he did want you to talk about things like this. It's important for your listeners.
Oh, yeah, he just wants me to talk about my stuff, too. Well, Buzzy was with me at the time when I actually found my spiritual path and when I started to wake up, when I had to start getting responsible for my own emotional energy and change my belief systems and behaviors and that sort of thing. And I was learning, Buzzy was one of my best teachers in teaching me the human to animal transference, which of course is what I teach about animals. When your animals have problems, it isn't just the animals, that emotionally and intuitively they're very sensitive and they pick up, process, and reflect back, particularly, you know, our belief systems, behaviors, characteristics, and particularly suppressed negative emotional energy. And of all the domestic animals we live with, the most emotionally and intuitively sensitive are cats and horses. Doesn't mean dogs aren't, they are, and there are, you know, some are more than others, but cats are really sensitive. And Abyssinians are particularly sensitive. Well, you know, how many people have issues with inappropriate urination with their cats? Well, I'm one of the few behavior therapists that can really help resolve those problems. And part of that is because I lived with it for so long and had to learn what it was all about. And Buzzy was one of the really great inappropriate peers in my life. And inappropriate urination with cats is an indication that there is suppressed or unaddressed anger in the humans, in the environment. And if you've got inappropriate urination going on, you can just count on the fact that there's some human anger going on that probably isn't being addressed with properly. And then, depending on where they go, will give you an idea of where the energy's, you know, where that anger's coming from or what it is related to. So this is where, Tom was showing me the pictures. If I was mad at my stepson, Buzzy would pee on his stuff. If I was mad at Tom, my husband, Buzzy would pee on Tom's stuff. And one of the things he'd do is go into the closet and pee on Tom's shoes.
Yeah, like, that's funny, is what Tom is saying.
Yeah. No, it wasn't, I spent a lot of time cleaning up. A lot of white vinegar and club soda, I'll tell you. But at any rate, and then if it was a general, if I was mad about family stuff or general family stuff, then he would pee generally in Tom, remember the papasan? He'd pee in the papasan in the family room all the time. So they're good little emotional rudders to let you know how you're doing with your emotional responsibility and letting you know to do homework. And I just related a story to you recently, Robin, that once got rid of husband and stepson and moved out to the country in the middle of nowhere and still had inappropriate peeing problems with Buzzy. I had to realize that it wasn't just them. It was, in fact, me, and I had some own, personal work to do on myself. But once I understood the connection and I really started walking my talk and I did my emotional homework and learned to process anger responsibly without stuffing and suppressing it, without directing it at others, Buzzy never inappropriately peed again, never had another urinary tract infection for the rest of his life. So these things are understandable now, and we can talk about them and how energy works. And speaking of that, reminds me of, remember I told you that I, aside from the fact that it's a full moon and Sunday morning, and I'm always excited to be here and do the show, that my feet were not quite touching the ground. Mike can attest to that.
That is true.
I can too. When I tuned into you this morning,
let's be honest, some of that's because I'm sitting in a high chair.
Yeah, figuratively or literally.
Well, now wait a minute. That didn't sound right.
Or both.
I'm not a kid's high chair, but the chairs in the studio are high because the desk, the table's high.
The console is high, so the chairs
are
studio high back chairs.
So I'm not in a kid's high chair, but I'm in a high chair. But I'm also just kind of flat. And that is because yesterday was the annual Paramahansa Yogananda's birthday celebration. And another day, 8-hour day of prayer, chant, and meditation at the temple, and of which I attended, and I went to the celebration of Christ and the Christmas 8-hour prayer, chant, meditation day in December, and made it through that one. Well, this one was from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. I really should not be awake at all, but I came home just totally energized. After that 8 hours, and it was just phenomenal once again, and I'm so glad I went. But that's why I'm kind of really buzzed. But I have to tell you, Robin, it was... Oh.
Oops.
It was so powerful, it just, my whole bag and briefcase and all that stuff just fell off the chair.
Well, Tom is still pitting for your attention, so that could be what that was about, too.
Oh, well, are we not done? What else does he want to talk about?
He said
the good
that,
stuff.
He said that he realizes that that there's going to be a lot of anger, even more so in 2012 than usual. He did refer to political anger.
Oh.
And he says he really did show up to help with animal safety because he feels that, you know, that human-to-animal transfer that you were speaking about,
mm-hmm.
that people need to have the tools to know how to deal with their anger so that the animals, the domestic animals in particular, will be safe from their owners. So I don't know all of that. And he also said that he was able to come in on the conduit of energy because of your meditation and his link with Buzzy and you and the whole reincarnation. So he actually is being an animal advocate. He's actually not being self-absorbed like he used to be. That's what he just said.
Well, thank you for admitting that.
Yeah, he says you'd like him a lot better now.
Oh, I already know I do. And actually, because he pops in from time to time, as you know, Robin, this probably, did, if he popped into your game playing last night with your friend, I mean, that's more than usual, but I often tell people these days, I mean, I have a better relationship with my ex-husband now that he's dead and on the other side than I ever did when he was alive.
That sounds so funny, but it's true.
Well, the bottom line is it changed when, we divorced, because after the divorce that I bought my farm and moved out to Monroe for the first time, we divorced in 1990. So, and then we did not have a relationship after that. I mean, his stepson stayed with him. I moved to the farm with the animals, and we did not have a relationship because we did not part on good terms. And so we were not in communication for all those years after that. But then, it must be within the last 5 years that he passed away. And when that happened, when he passed away, that brought his stepson back into my life because his stepson lives in Europe and needed some help, and he made contact with me. And then when he came to the States to help, I might as well just tell you everything, folks. He came back and needed help, you know, sorting through all of Tom's stuff and dealing with all of that. So we ended up connecting again. I went and helped. And it's fun, kind of funny how karma works, Mike. You know, you just don't want to mess with me because, you know, when the divorce happened, Tom didn't want a lot of stuff. He just wanted out. So then that was his typical pattern. So I got most everything. But he wanted a few things. And so the things that he took, like the dishes he wanted and the artwork that he wanted and the stuff of ours that he wanted, he took. Well, after he died, I got it all back. Plus some.
It all worked out, didn't it?
But we really did have similar tastes, so I got all of his artwork that I wanted. Anyway, so yeah. So I have to say that once I got a lot of his stuff, I got all the stuff back, and I had some of his artwork and all of that. It had really a dark energy and a lot of problem. And at one point, Robin, remember you and
I do now, yes.
Because of the dark energy that was surrounding it all, you and I, we had to go into the energy. And what we found out is that Tom had been unable to cross over into the light.
Yeah,
that he was still earthbound
and
in an astral belt. And yeah, this was a number of years ago, but we helped him cross over. And ever since then, we've had a great relationship. I don't know. I mean, that just seemed to change the energy completely. And he and I started really communicating, and we talked a lot about all of the issues between us and all of that. And we kind of like forgave each other and really, I like my ex-husband again. I mean, I really think I consider us friends now.
Isn't that weird? He's saying he not only...
No, Mike's saying no, it's not weird.
I don't think it's weird.
Oh, okay. He's saying what, Robin?
Because we all grow and we all learn.
That's a good one, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's saying, Martha, he's not only an advocate of you, he's an advocate of what you say and you do. Mm. That hindsight being 2020, you walk your talk and talk your walk. And he really hopes that people regard highly your concepts and your tools and your techniques and understand that they need to implement them, get them under their belts so that they can help themselves and their neighbors in the times to come. So he's being somewhat of a precognitive spokesperson.
It's all becoming clear to me now because I did feel his energy at the temple yesterday. He is here. He's laying the groundwork, which is where I was going to go. Thank you, Tom. Yeah, see, 20 years ago when I started to wake up spiritually, I was already in this marriage, and I found my spiritual teacher. I started doing the light work and all of that, which he and his stepson poo-pooed for a while. Then they decided, they saw that was what was happening with me. They started to do the work with me. They got into it for a while, but then when it got to the point where they really had to start doing their own emotional homework, they didn't want to do the work and they stopped. And then it was after that that the marriage broke up. But that's what he's saying now, is that he does realize what the spiritual path that I chose and was walking is really real. And I'm very best to walk my talk. And I'll have to, Robin, I got so energized at this 8 hours of, you know, prayer and chanting and meditation yesterday. It was phenomenal. And the last couple hours were the most energizing. A lot of ceremony. It's a fire ceremony and a purification ceremony. But then, in the last hour, probably for 45 minutes of that last hour, was they played, and we were in the temple, the Ananda Temple in Bothell, and the atmosphere was just phenomenal. Of course, you know, we'd been through 7 hours already of prayer, chant, and meditation and ceremony. By that time it was dark and candlelight, and it was just magnificent. But they played a talk by Swami Kriyananda. And Swami Kriyananda was a direct disciple of Yogananda. Yogananda was sent to the States by his gurus to bring Eastern and Western religion together and to help the world understand, particularly us Westerners, that there is truth and foundation in all religion, and that we're really, it's really all comes from the same place, and how similar it all really is, and bringing it all together. And at any rate, Kriyananda at the time was J. Donald Walter, and shortly after Yogananda established a center in California, Kriyananda, you know, read autobiography of a yogi and then traveled across the country and begged to be taken in as a disciple, and Yogananda, of course, was expecting him and knew he was coming and why, and so Kriyananda studied, and Kriyananda is the name that he was later, his spiritual name later given to him and by Yogananda. Studied with Yogananda and pretty much lived with him for the rest of Yogananda's life, and Kriyananda is the one who then, after Yogananda's passing, created the Ananda group organization and the communities, because one of Yogananda's great longings and desire to do is creating spiritual communities around the world for people learning how to live simply, live together, live in God, and the way of the future. And Kriyananda, as J. Donald Walter, had dreamed about doing this like when he was like 15. So it was his path and all of that. But anyway, so Kriyananda, direct disciple of Yogananda, and dedicated his life to bringing Yogananda's teachings to light and all of that. Well, this was a 45-minute recorded talk, and I'm going to have to find out what the title is and where to get it, because I'm sure since they played it, it's on CD, and I'm sure it's available probably through crystalclarity.com or whatever. But, oh, my gosh, Robin, it was so inspiring that, I think all of us were off our seats. I mean, we were laughing. You and I haven't had a chance to talk. It absolutely confirmed on all levels, without question, the direction that you and I have been being given off the air in terms of what we're to do with this spiritual work and teaching of Yogananda and Shri Yukteswar. And I have to tell you, folks, I'm just going to share with you as we close out this first hour, that I personally, and probably why, you know, my dead husband's coming through, I personally am at the best place I have ever been in this whole entire lifetime. I am truly living most of the time, and nothing all that much is changing or has changed. I didn't win the lottery or anything. It has nothing to do with material stuff and all of that. It has to do with the spiritual path and the Kriya Yoga, but the joy and the bliss, and then now the understanding. And that's a lot of what this talk was about. It was about being a disciple and what that's all about, but it was also about what is life really about. And, I mean, how many times have you wondered? I mean, do you ever wonder? I mean, and how many times have I said, why didn't somebody just give me a map when I was born? Why didn't somebody just tell me what the heck is going on? I want to know. How many times have you said that? Have you wanted to know? I mean, what happens after you die? What is there life after death and all this reincarnation and all that kind of stuff? And then what?
It's appreciating the path, not necessarily the destination.
Well, the path, but then also, how many arguments are there as to what's going on the planet, and how were the pyramids built, and what are with all these designs in the ground, like down in Peru, that you don't even know what they are unless you're up in the air, and all of this kind of, all these things that we've never been able to answer, whatever. Well, I got to tell you, yes.
I'm sorry, there's so much activity going on in the in-between world. So many, there's other souls coming in who want to talk. You've got them all stirred up over there, Martha. So.
Well, I know, because I just, you know, I got confirmation last night that it is time to tell everybody, Robin, what we've been directed and to do and what we're going to be doing as the weeks and months progress, as we have a better understanding. But the bottom line is that Paramahansa Yogananda and his guru, Swami Shriyukstavar, have brought through and already have given us all the answers about what's going on. And it's truly the first time that everything makes logical sense to me, and I don't even know it all yet. But if you want to get an understanding or get a basis or a foundation going on, and if you don't care about this stuff, that's okay. You just aren't ready yet. You just get to come back and do a bunch more lifetimes until you are ready. But if you are curious and you do want to know, well, then if you're local here, go to East West Bookshop or the Ananda Temple in Bothell. If you're not, you can go to www.crystalclarity.com. That's the publishing company. You need to read Autobiography of a Yogi, because there's a chapter in that book that Yogananda's guru comes back and explains what goes on afterlife and the different planes of existence afterlife and what we're all going through to get where we're going and how that all works. And then there's another book that I am just beginning to study now. It's called The Yugas, and it's brand new. It's just out. And if you want to know something about that, you can get the latest copy of New Spirit Journal, which you can do online at newspiritjournal.com. Because, by the way, Krista put The Yugas, the book, on the front page of this January issue of New Spirit Journal. So you can read about The Yugas. But The Yugas explains the history and future of mankind, and actually has an explanation about the pyramids and all of this kind of stuff and why and how and all this sort of thing. And I know, Robin, you're in the process of reading Autobiography of a Yogi. You are also in the process of reading the book The Yugas. I'm only 60 pages into the book of The Yugas, and it's like, oh, all these lights and bells and whistles going off and all of that. It's like incredible. So we're going to, as part of the process here, what Robin and I are being directed to do is that we have a better understanding of what happens after this lifetime and the cycles of mankind, then we're going to help bring that to an understanding to the rest of you. And I'm particularly interested to follow the soul progression of animals and where they go and how far they stay in the picture. And I think it's also going to help us then, like when Robin communicates, like with my husband, Tom, who's talking to us now, where's he coming from? Is he coming from the astral plane, the lower astral plane, the higher astral plane, some of these other levels of existence? Where is that communication coming from? When Kim Miller, like next week, when Kim's here and she talks to, you know, your human or animal loved ones on the other side, where are they actually coming from? I think we're going to be able to start determining that. And I'm just really excited. And anyway, it just came through in the talk with Kriyananda yesterday that if this turns you on, if it excites you, if it's giving you the answers, then get out there and talk about it and share it, and woohoo! So there you go. And of course, I've totally talked us over the top of the hour. And if I'm going to keep Mike happy, we better wrap up this hour. I tell you what, I'm good to go. So let's dump the tip, and let's just turn this hour right around. We'll come back. Robin Alexis is here. Mike Roberge is here. I've got some hot TV alerts for you, and we'll finish up just what I was talking about here, because we're not going to actually start it right now. I'm just telling you what we're working into, and we'll do whatever we need to do related to that, and then we'll get into all of the hot topics we do need to tune into. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.